Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my daughter, who are born in a respectable family, how have you degraded your consciousness in this way? How is it that you are shamelessly maintaining a paramour? You will thus degrade the dynasties of both your father and your husband to hellish life. Purport, it is quite clear that according to the Vedic culture, a woman who accepts a paramour or a second husband in the presence of the husband she has married is certainly responsible for the degradation of her father's family and the family of her husband. The rules of Vedic culture in this regard are strictly observed in the respectable families of Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas even today. Only the Shudras are degraded in this matter. For a woman of the Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishya class to accept another husband in the presence of the husband she has married, or to file for divorce, or to accept a boyfriend or paramour, is unacceptable in the Vedic culture. Therefore, King Shariyati, who did not know the real facts of Chaivana Muni's transformation, was surprised to see the behavior of his daughter. Katamati ste vagatan yatasatam kula prasute kula dushanam tvidam vivarshi jaram yar apa apatrapa kulam pitus trabartuscha nayas yadastamaha. O my daughter, who are born in a respectable family, how have you degraded your consciousness in this way? How is it that you are shamelessly maintaining a paramour? You will thus degrade the dynasties of both your father and your husband to hellish life. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Kauravani Vijarne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya Devadana. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Kule Shane Panashanti Kula Dharma Sanatana Dharma Nashte Kula Kritsnam Adharma Vivavat Yuta. Some of the same words they use there in that particular verse. That by the destruction of the family, namely if the elderly members of the family are killed off, then the result is with the destruction of dynasty, the eternal family tradition is vanquished, and thus the rest of the family becomes involved in irreligion. In other words, the Vedic culture is meant to create a stable atmosphere both for the physical body as well as for the mind, the consciousness. The spiritual realization is possible only if one's consciousness is fixed. And the Bhagavad Gita Krishna said in the second chapter that Nashti Buddhya Yuktasya Nacha Yuktasya Bhavanaha Nacha Bhavyantakshantir Ashantasya Kutaksukam. That for one who's not in transcendental or Krishna consciousness, he can have neither controlled mind nor steady intelligence, without which there's no possibility of peace, and how can there be any happiness without peace? In other words, unless one is peaceful, there is no question of happiness. And in the material world, no one is peaceful. Primarily, we're not peaceful because we have to die. Everyone has to die. No one can live forever in the material world, and no one knows when he's going to die, at least not in the present age. We hear previously, when people's activities were regulated, when they performed sacrifices to the demigods, for instance, when they utilized their energies for higher consciousness, when they worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at that time, everything was regulated. For instance, during the reign of Lord Ramachandra, the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira, that the seasons would come at their appointed time. even 50 years ago in India, the day of the monsoons would arrive every year at the same time. Everyone knew when it was going to rain. Everyone knew when the seasons would change. Now, people have no idea what's going to happen from one day to the next. One of the symptoms mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam about the age of Kali Yuga is that one season appears in the next, in another season. For instance, now, no one knows what's going to happen, whether it's going to snow tomorrow or whether it's going to be 90 degrees outside. People think it's by chance or accident that one climate is appearing at a certain time and another climate is appearing at a different time. But the fact is that these things are going on because of the reciprocation of the activities of the human beings, especially in the demigods. The human beings are supposed to be performing sacrifice, at least to the demigods, if not to Lord Vishnu. And by such sacrifice, the demigods are reciprocating. But now, the human beings perform only activities for their own sense gratification, unmindful of the workings of the laws of nature. Therefore, we can see the abnormalities in this present age are ever increasing. And of all the predominant activities of sense gratification, as mentioned here, illicit sex is the most prominent. Indeed, in the material world, where there is hardly any real happiness, if any happiness at all, the only activity which appears to some to be something like happiness is sex life. Therefore, the whole material world moves on the basis of sense gratification, based upon sex life. But Prahlad Maharaj has said, Yan maitu nadi grihamedi sukham hitucham. Although it is glorified, sex life specifically, in magazines, billboards, newspapers, television, radio, educational, universities, although it is the focus of attention of the materialist, still it is tuchavat. It is insignificant. Just like the Himalayan mountains were about to give birth to a child, and all the creatures came and sages to see what would happen. And although there was great rumbling, the Himalayan mountains were shaking, and everyone was expecting a great thing to happen, suddenly one little mouse came out. Or as William Shakespeare said, much ado about nothing. Although it is glorified and emphasized, still, in spite of all facilities, especially in the Western world, for sense gratification, still no one is satisfied. Indeed, one king asked his minister, he said, up until what moment does a man have sex desire? So the minister said, my dear king, up until the time of death. So the king was a little incredulous, and he said, I don't believe that. So the minister said, just wait, I'll call you. So the minister called the king and asked him to bring his young, beautiful daughter, and they entered into the room of a man who was about to die. So the old man who was about to die, when the king walked in with the minister, he paid no attention. But as soon as the young, beautiful princess walked into the room, the old man sat up in his bed and smiled, and then died. So this material pleasure is the focus of attention for all conditioned souls in the material world, but still it is tuchavat, because it does not give anyone any permanent pleasure. And not only does that give any permanent pleasure, it is insignificant pleasure. It is only flickering, chapala sukha. It is just like a drop on a lotus leaf. The lotus flower or the lotus leaf has a very waxy substance on it. So as soon as a drop of water is on the lotus leaf, immediately it glides down. Similarly, chapa ala sukha la bire. The material pleasure in this material world is flickering. And not only is it flickering, but here it says, matis te, that it degrades one's consciousness. Avagata, head has gone down. That by performing of such activities, the result is that one loses his awareness. Losing one's awareness means that one is diminishing his happiness. He's diminishing his awareness of his own self and instead becoming more and more absorbed in matter. Becoming absorbed in matter means to become absorbed in the threefold miseries. The vivid example in sex life, for instance, is that the woman has to become pregnant and she has to suffer for so many months. And afterwards, giving birth is suffering, then having to take care of the child is suffering. Even the father, generally, he has to be woken up at night, the child's crying, and then he's crying, everyone's crying, and then the baby becomes happy when everyone's crying and goes to sleep. Then you have to feed the baby. Then it grows up, and you have to educate the child, you have to send him to school, etc., etc. And finally he winds up a juvenile delinquent, and he tortures the parents. So in every stage there's some kind of suffering, although it is glorified, how wonderful. So this is all due to illusion, because those who are unaware of themselves as a spiritual being, who are only conscious of the body, that is the only avenue of happiness that they have. Although it is miserable, and it's constantly, as we told that story, which we can always tell again, how that man was running away from the tiger, and by his bad karma, he was walking in the jungle one day, and one tiger attacked him. But because he had performed some pious activity, fortunately there was a tree nearby. So he ran up the tree, but unfortunately due to his previous impious activities, he grabbed hold of one branch and it broke. And he fell down, practically on top of the tiger, but he missed the tiger, probably would have killed the tiger. Instead he fell into a hole, because he had some pious activity, so there was a hole there. And he fell into the hole, but due to his impious activity, the hole was full of venomous snakes, which were crawling up the hole to bite him. And unfortunately, due to his impious activities, on the branch that he had broken, there was a beehive, which was full of Amazon bees who were stinging him. But fortunately, due to his pious activities, the one man was walking on the other side of the hole away from the tiger, but the tiger couldn't get to him, and he had a rope. So he threw the rope down and said, "Grab hold of the rope." But unfortunately, due to this man's impious activities, both his hands and legs were broken. So the man said, "Grab hold of the rope and I'll pull you out." But he said, "I can't do that because my hands and legs are broken." So he said, "Grab hold by your teeth and I'll pull you out by your teeth." He said, "I can't do that." He said, "Why not?" He said, "Because now on top of my head is this beehive and some of the honey is dripping down. And some of it is just on the tip of my nose. And I know if I stay here a few minutes longer, some of it will drip into my mouth. So I don't want to leave." So similarly in the material world, everyone is looking for that one drop of honey, suffering the threefold miseries, adi-atmika, adi-bodhika, and adi-daivika kleshas, hoping against hope that somehow or another that drop of honey I'll be able to taste. But those drops of honey generally are few and far between, and the sufferings are ever increasing. Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukha dosha anudarshanam. Birth, death, old age, and disease are the constant miseries of the soul. And as long as his consciousness is absorbed in matter, as Maharishi Shabdev has said, nunam pramatta kuru tevi karma, it indriya pritaya aprinoti nasarumanye yata atmanoyam asanapi kleshida ashadeha. In the material world, people are not in love with anything except for their senses. They say, I love you. The man tells the wife, I love you, or his girlfriend. And the girlfriend says, I love you. But actually what they mean is, I love my sense gratification. And as long as you provide it, then I can appreciate you. So the real love is for sense gratification, gratifying one's own senses, either gross or subtly. And one tries to find different types of victims in order to accomplish that end. And the proof of that is that, especially in the present age, as soon as the sense gratification stops, then the so-called love stops. People get married, they promise each other, I love you forever, and within 6 months there's divorce, and they're loving someone else forever, and then someone else for another forever. So this tuchavat, this flickering sense gratification, is indriya pritaya, love for the sensation of sense gratification. Unfortunately, that sense gratification does not last. Asanapi kleshida ashadeha. Nunam pramata kuru tevi karma, yet indriya pritaya aprinoti nasarumanye. So therefore, a sane person with some intelligence, he does not become overwhelmed by these feelings. Those who are shudras, it is mentioned here, are those completely absorbed in the mode of ignorance. They become overwhelmed by these feelings. They think that there cannot be any higher experience than those feelings of lust. But those who are sadhus, who have some control over their senses and mind, who've experienced something other than simply sense gratification, they know it is tuchavat, it's insignificant. But that requires some other experience. Plato, he wrote one book called The Republic. And in that book, there was one person, he was in a cave, and all he saw was shadows on the wall. So he thought that was the ultimate reality. So similarly, those who are in the material world who have no higher experience, they think that this is such an important experience. But those who are sadhus, who have heard from other higher authorities, who have practiced religious principles, they can understand that this thing is insignificant. Therefore, yesham antikatam papam jananam punya karmana tedvanva mohinirmuktva bhajante mam dhiravrataha. That those who have practiced pious activities, those who are fortunate enough to get into the association of personalities who have another type of experience, a higher experience than gross sense gratification and subtle sense gratification, they can make some progress. It may not be a lot of progress, but it's some progress. Prabhupada writes that those who are too deceitful, and there are many people like that nowadays, when I was distributing at the airport, I noticed that generally the first thing out of everyone's mouth is a lie. But people can't help it. The first thing they tell you is that they have no money. And if you're foolish enough to accept it, then you don't get any money either. But 99.9% of the people have a lot of money in their pockets, but their first thing out of their mouth is a lie. But because they're practiced to be deceitful, they automatically, without hesitation, spontaneously they lie. And those who are too sinful, and most people in this world are categorized as very sinful in this age, people have no conscience what they're doing. They're openly engaged in sex life right in the middle of in the public. They're eating all kinds of abominable food. They're talking all kinds of nonsense, speculating like anything, engaged in all kinds of sinful activities. Gambling is so prominent in this age that people walking around in certain parts just selling lottery tickets all over the world. They just walk around encouraging people to gamble, have illicit sex, take intoxication. People have no thought at all that these things are sinful. Just like if one is completely absorbed in a certain experience, then he has no understanding of that is right or wrong. Or for instance, if one is in the fire, if one is being burnt, then he has, one's foot is in the water, in the hot water after some time, after a while one gets used to it and it feels completely natural. If one is in a certain environment, for instance, if one is in a certain environment, then he gets used to it after a while and he doesn't even notice. He becomes oblivious to what's going on. It becomes normal. He becomes accustomed to it. So if one, for instance, is in a very unclean environment and he tolerates it, then he himself must be unclean. So similarly, without any, 50 years ago we should say, the idea of people getting divorced was considered to be inauspicious, at least inauspicious. But nowadays, because it has become the norm, to get divorced is considered completely normal. So much so that if someone stays married in the present society, people think there's something must be wrong with him. For instance, if one doesn't eat meat, people think there must be something wrong with the person. Although, logically, scientifically, whatever else, eating meat is abominable and inauspicious and detrimental to the health and consciousness of the person, but because people in general have accepted it as the norm, they think it's abnormal not to do it. Similarly, in the Vedic culture, for a woman to accept a paramour was considered abominable and degrading. And that people who are sensitive enough, as explains here, that the father would become disturbed, the husband would become disturbed, as Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, just like the woman is just like, the man is just like a cloud, and the woman is like lightning. So the woman should not be flashing from one cloud to the next. Otherwise, if the woman leaves, takes another husband, then the husband becomes disturbed, the business closes, all the children are dispatched, and everyone becomes bewildered and disturbed. As we can see in modern society, if you go to the airport, you find many children, they're flying from one part of the country to the next to visit their family. One half of their family is in Alaska, the other half is in Belgium somewhere. So this is normal. People think this is completely normal. But is it degrading? But people become so degraded that they don't even notice how degraded they are. But in a more sensitive society, people would notice it if something wrong happened, such as divorce, when everyone would become disturbed. And if one doesn't become disturbed, it means that they're beyond being disturbed. Just like a rock does not become disturbed, it does not mean that a rock is of a higher nature. So people have become, their consciousness is just, their hearts have become like rocks. And therefore they're not noticing how degraded human society has become, especially due to this illicit sex, this idea of flashing from one cloud to another, looking for material happiness, which doesn't exist anywhere. Therefore the Vedic culture stressed the importance of chastity for the woman, and chastity for the man too. It's not that only the woman should be chaste, but also the man should be chaste. That the basic structure of the family should be meant for self-realization, not simply for sense gratification. The family was meant to provide a stable economic situation so that all the basic necessities of life can be fulfilled. There would be adequate shelter and food, and therefore one would not have to become disturbed over the basic necessities, and instead could fix one's mind upon higher principles of spiritual culture. Presently, as we can see, in spite of the fact that sense gratification has become more and more liberalized, but still it is not that things have become more peaceful. Instead, things have become more disturbed, that no one is quite sure what their future is, even if they're going to get enough to eat. Any moment, there can be some power failure or some economic crisis, and all the food will disappear from the shelves of the store within a day or two, and there's nothing to eat, except for each other. I'm saying I love you, you know, but tomorrow I may love you in a different way. So, because of lack of consciousness, lack of understanding, people have created an unstable situation, unstable society, where they've forgotten what are the real necessities of life, what are the real economic necessities of life, what are the psychological necessities of life. In other words, Prabhupada once said that every man, generally a man in the material world, wants a nice wife, and every woman in the material world wants a nice husband. They want a stable situation where they can become peaceful. So due to the agitation of the mind and senses, one tries to find a stable situation. But because of lack of knowledge, people have no idea how to create that stable situation. So part of that is explained here is by chastity. Just as Prabhupada used to point out, the solution to the best contraceptive method is celibacy. That's the best contraceptive method. That creates, by having children, only sex life to create children for some purpose, that is the best way of creating a stable environment within society. And by such stability, then one can focus one's attention upon the actual necessities, materially and spiritually. In other words, the man and the woman should cooperate, the man providing all the basic necessities such as food and shelter, and the woman creating a nice atmosphere within the home, nice cooking nicely, raising the children nicely, etc. And this way, each one will encourage each other. And then, when everything is stable, very easily they can think of higher values of life, namely self-realization. But if the woman and husband do not cooperate, then they simply become disturbances to each other, and then they disturb their children, they disturb their relatives, they disturb everyone. And the result is that no one has time for thinking of anything else except for the disturbances that are being created. Oh, a little bit of that is mentioned here. So I think we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes.
You were mentioning about stopping eating of meat. And generally when you start becoming vegetarian, people recommend all kinds of things like soya in some products. And I was wondering why in this movement or in Vedic culture, soya bean is not so much mentioned or used.
Because people, they don't know what they're doing. In other words, they have so many speculations, and that's just another one. They have this idea that you have to eat as much protein as a tiger does in order to be healthy. But too much protein simply agitates one's senses. It's not necessary to have so much protein. And soybeans are concentrated protein, that's all. If you were a tiger, it would be recommended. If you're a tiger who wants to become a vegetarian, you should probably eat a lot of soybeans. But if a human being doesn't wants to become a vegetarian, he doesn't have to eat so many soybeans. But because people like tigers nowadays, they want to become ferocious. Therefore, they get into those things, protect themselves from the other tigers. Dog-eat-dog world. But even the dogs aren't very... In this age, it's the tiger-eat-tiger world. Yes?
Now everything is simple, nice, like standing. How can you reverse this?
Well, we can do it ourselves. As far as standing up in reverse, go this way, go this way. We can do it by preaching, by the Srila Prabhupada's books. As Prabhupada writes, Yad Vagvishago Chanatagala Viplavo Yasmin Prati Shlokam Abharavat Yapi Namanyan Antasya Shonkitaniyat Shinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Sarava. On the other hand, those words, which are full of dog eat dog world. But even the dogs aren't very... In this age, it's the tiger-eat-tiger world. Yes?
Now everything is simple, life, like standing. How can you reverse this?
Well, we can do it ourselves. As far as standing up in reverse, go this way, go this way. We can do it by preaching, by the Sri Prabhupada's books. As Prabhupada writes, Yad Vagvishago Chanatagala Viplavo Yasmin Prati Shlokam Abharavat Yapi Namanyan Antasya Shonkitaniyat Shinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Sarava. On the other hand, those words, which are full of the name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are of a different creation, meant to create a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, although they may be imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified persons who are thoroughly honest. These transcendental literatures, if people hear them, Prabhupada writes, so though at first it may be impalatable to them, but that's just like sugar candy seems impalatable to those persons who have jaundice. But if they keep on eating it, the sugar candy, gradually their jaundice-like condition will be cured and they'll actually understand how sweet the sugar candy is. So especially by the distribution of this transcendental literature and creating an atmosphere by which people will take it seriously, the literature, and apply it within their lives, this will change people's lives and direct them towards the real goal of life. So by giving people transcendental knowledge, by this transcendental movement, people's lives can be changed. And indeed, we see that people's lives have been changed, otherwise we wouldn't be here. So it has to work. Anything else? Yes.
Why is the temptation to engage in sex lives so strong?
Because we've been trained up. One time when devotee said to Prabhupada, he said, I have sex desire. And Prabhupada said, every bird and beast, every ant has sex desire. Because that's material life. And why is it? Because that's why we came here, to the material world. To try to experience something independent of Krishna. So that's what it is. This illusion that I am the enjoyer. That's the only happiness that's in the material world. I am the controller and I am the enjoyer. So as long as we want to stay in the material world, as long as we're not in Krishna consciousness, it's going to be very strong. Because that's the only alternative.
Ultimately, we have to see that
there's
much more pressure in
this sort of Krishna. Yeah, we have to practically experience that. Well, we have to gradually purify ourselves by engaging Krishna consciousness. Seeing means to experience. But at least we should see with our intelligence. Although we may not experience, at least with our intelligence, we should understand. And then we should understand enough so we know what to do in order to gradually attain a higher state of consciousness. So by gradually understanding and then applying within our lives, gradually that higher consciousness will be there. Although we may be in the modes of material nature presently, but still we should try to elevate ourselves to higher modes of nature. And in the higher modes of nature, the impulse for sense gratification diminishes. In the mode of ignorance and passion, it may be very strong, but in the mode of goodness, it slackens and diminishes considerably. And in the transcendental mode of Krishna consciousness, then it doesn't exist at all. Anything else? Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. Thank you.